Mr. Carter, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Carter?
I was born in 10 Springwell Terrace, Northampton, on the 9th of July, 1914. I started the First World War and I helped to end the Second World War.
Were you the only child in the family?
No, we had a big family. There was 8 boys and 1 girl. She came last. I told her she was very unlucky. If she'd come first, we would have looked after her well. But she didn't agree with me.
Where were you in the family line?
I was in the middle. About the middle I was in. I had a very happy childhood.
What did your father do for a living?
My father, strangely, the figure 3 is going to come mostly into this story. The 3 seems to come up very continuously. Now, my father was three brothers. He was the third brother. He was a part-time postman. He had a small rural round. I think he started at 6 o'clock and finished about 9. He did all the pig killing for the farmers. He cut the pigs up and salted them. He then had another job in the town. On Wednesday was market day, and in them days the farmers used to come in with their carts and supplies to sell. And each pub, there's a lot of pubs in Northampton, had stables. And they each had what you call an ostler. He would meet the farmer, take the horse out of the shafts, and take it down to the stables. And then when the farmer came back, after he'd got his supplies and done his business, he would yoke up the horse again. And there was one farmer, I remember, he used to like his drink. And when he came back, he was incapable of driving the horse, so they put him in the cart, like, and just tapped the horse on the flank, and away it went, and I think it went for 2 miles back to its home, like, on its own. He had no need to drive it. On a Saturday, in the market hall, he had what you call a butcher's meat, selling meat. We had to go to the station, and we collected on a hand cart half a side of beef, which we wheeled through the town on a Friday, it was, and we put it in a stable. In the morning, Father came and he got it out of the stable, took it into the town hall, and cut it up. I think the meat must have been too tough for the rats in there, like in the stable, but he also maybe killed a pig, and that was that night. Oh, and on Tuesday, again, he had another part-time job, and that was in the marts. He helped to put the cattle into the pens, pen them up. And otherwise, he helped the local butchers. So he was what you call a jack of all trades. I remember we had to go down to the town hall because Father liked his lotion, and he was over to the pub, like, and if somebody turned up, we had to go and fetch him out of the pub. I remember one farmer coming, and he said to Father, he said, that meat of yours was a bit tough last week. He said, I could have sold me boots with it. And Father, not lost for words, said, well, why didn't you? And the farmer said, well, I couldn't drive a nail through it.
What wages was he getting for these jobs? Was it sufficient to keep the family?
Oh, I think it would be sufficient, but he liked his drink. He could have been a very clever man if he'd kept off drink. Drink was the ruination. But I don't think he gave me mother very much money, like. So
your mother had to handle the income.
She had to be very careful, yes.
Did she work?
No, no, not with the eight lads and no, she had it was a full time job for her. I think she'd been a school teacher as well. She was a very quiet woman, and it was a pity, like, that he went on to the drink. That spoiled me. That spoiled the marriage altogether. But in them days, the women just put up with it, didn't they, in them days? A lot of women today wouldn't have put up with it. They would have left their husbands.
Had he served in the First World War?
No, he was lucky. He was called up. But there was something wrong with him, I think. So he escaped, like.
But you say that he drank quite a bit. Was his personality okay? He didn't turn nasty in his drink,
oh,
did he?
Oh, he was very nasty when he was drinking. Yes, very nasty.
So did that mean that you as children got a lot of corporal punishment, as they call it nowadays, in the home?
Well, we didn't get a lot of... No, we kept out of his way, shall we say. Yes.
Brothers and sisters, you say you were in the middle of quite a large family. They would grow up. Did they work? Did they get jobs okay?
Well, yes. There was one brother I know. He went to... He got a job with a vet. He was still going to school, but I think he did 2 hours before he went to school. And then when he left school, he went to the vets and he did a feeding the animals or cleaning them, you see. And he received 10 shilling a week, which was a big help to my mother, like. But he was about the only one that helped her, like. Of course, we went out tater picking and all that sorts of jobs helping me.
These little jobs that you did as children.
These were the main... job was his tension in the week was there all the time, like. It's a pity when he finished, left school, like, that another one couldn't have followed in his footsteps. I would have followed in his footsteps and taken his leg over, but somebody else must have got it.
So it was a large family and the money wasn't that much available. Clothing and that kind of thing, was it a passing down situation?
Oh, definitely. We passed all the clothes down, definitely. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's one thing we did do.
Food in the home, was it plentiful?
Oh, food was pretty good, yes. Yes. My grandfather had a farm which bordered onto our house, and we had a job, well, I had a job anyway, of going to the farm every night with 2 cans, and 1 can of milk was for our house, and the other can was for my uncle, who was on the railway, he was a station foreman. That's as far as he got. He could have been station master, but he wouldn't move from Northallerton. So that was my job, to take a can of milk to him. I don't know how it came about. I think he had something to do with the farm. He might have lent some money or something like that. But I know I used to go into his house. He never was there. He had a housekeeper, and there was a basin where I just poured the milk in. And at the side of it would be 2 buns, and I'd pick them up. And then one of his sons had been in the First World War, and he was laid in a room as I went past. And he called me in one day, and he said, "Do you like cigarette cards?" And he started me off of collecting cigarette cards. Because he was laid in bed, he never got out of bed, he must have been badly wounded, and he smoked all the time. And from him, I started a grand selection of cigarette cards. And pity was, when I came back from India, my sister had been playing with them and they were lost, which would have been, they were worth a lot of money if we'd known. They were marvellous cigarette cards, all in rotation, you know. That was through this cousin of mine. He died shortly after, as I said, it was a godsend because he was in agony.
You, as I said, your big family. What size house did you live in?
Oh, we had three bedrooms. And I know three of us slept in one bed. Maybe that's induced me to join the army. Like, it's not very nice being in the middle of two brothers sleeping all night. But I did catch scarlet fever. And I still slept with my brothers. And one brother was telling somebody he had scarlet fever and we slept with him. But they didn't know it was scarlet fever till the doctor came. And he looked at me feet and he said, "Oh yes, he's had scarlet fever. By rights, I should have been in an isolation hospital." Anyway, I remember we used to go on Sunday school trips to Retka. That was once a year, the day trip. And it happened I was still in bed with scarlet fever. And the rest of the family, they went to Retka and I was left in bed. And I looked up and saw them going. And in lieu of that, my mother, she took me up to Osmotherley in one of them shadow bands up open up. That was in lieu of me missing that one.
Three bedrooms, what about the accommodation downstairs?
Oh, we had a scullery, and then a kitchen, and then a sitting room, which we used regularly, now and again.
Heated with coal fire?
Coal fire, yes. No hot water, only what the boiler at the side of what they did in the olden days. They just had a boiler at the side of the fire and you used to scoop the water out with a tin and take it into the kitchen to wash yourself or a kettle. That was all. Very cold. I suffered from chilblains a lot anyway. I was glad I went to India. I never suffered with chilblains anymore.
And your mother no doubt baked for the family, did she?
Oh, she was a good cook, yes. Yorkshire puddings and Yorkshire fed as well, what she could get. Father always brought a bit of meat back, right? It was left over, so we didn't do so bad at all.
I think you mentioned very briefly that you had a happy childhood.
Oh, yes, I had a happy childhood when I come to think. I mean, my grandfather's farm came right up to our house. It was my playground. There was a beck down below where I never was out of there. I was at the Tiddlers. And then about half a mile away, we had an allotment where we kept hens and I kept rabbits and pigeons and ducks and that. I was never away from there. I was happy down there. And, well, in them days, you went round each other's allotment. You saw what sort of hens they kept, you know, such as black leghorns, white leghorns, Sussex and, you know, Rhode Island reds and rabbits and that. That was very good, was that, you know, to go around and see them. Oh, yes, it was happy childhood. We had one bicycle, which was handed down. It was only a small one. When it got to make my turn, the tyres were going and you had to patch them up. You couldn't get tyres or anything for it. My youngest brother, when it got to him, we all tried to get, all the other brothers had tried to get him to ride it, but they couldn't. So I took him and I put him on the bike and I said, "Don't sit there like a statue." I said, "Get wriggling and going." So I pushed him off and he did that wriggling and going and he went. And my mother and father were just coming down the street when I saw him go past on the bicycle. And I got a bit worried because he was coming onto the main road. Well, there wasn't a lot of traffic, but he did manage to get back anyway. And after that, he was never off it. In winter, we had a sledge, which was handed down. And there was one brother, he used to race home from school and get the sledge, and he always had it. So one brother and his mate decided to teach him a lesson. Where we used to sledge, we'd come down a slope onto the road. But if you come down from the hill, you could come down and there was a beck at the bottom. So they said to him, now, if you come down the top there, we'll stop you from going into the beck. So he got on the sledge and he came down and they stood aside and let him go straight into the beck. Another time, this same brother, we had a cinema was in our... We had two cinemas and we always used to go matinees and that, like, it was only a penny. But my brother had a mate who was a usher in there, and he got him to get some tickets, and he said, when the first house comes out, you see, at the side, they were going to nip in, which they did. And the usherette, she was a real dragon. She came up and she said, where's your tickets? And I showed her the tickets. She said, them were last week. Get out.
What other childish games and pastimes did you do at that age?
Well, we had cricket, and we had this here balls, with a stick and a round ball and thing, you know. There was chestnuts where you snapped them at, you collected chestnuts and marbles, all such games as that.
So a very active outdoor life.
Oh, yes, in summer, we're out all the time, like, yes. I had a very active life because I had ever so many rabbits, a lot of rabbits and that. I had to go and collect rabbit meat for them, right? But I enjoyed me. And in summer, when I heard the grass cutter going, my uncle on the grass cutter, I used to follow him round with the grass cutter picking up mice and frogs and all that, right? And you could go around the edges and bird nesting, seeing different birds nesting, different birds' eggs. But sad today, somebody took the farm over and they've turned it into more or less like a prairie, took all the edges out, and it's very, well, as you remember it, it's not the same, it's distressing in a way.
Can we talk a little while about the area you lived in? The neighbours, was it a very closely knit society?
Oh, they were very closely knit society. I mean, I told you about my brother going into the beck. He ended up with one of the neighbours. He dried him off, like he didn't go home. He was dried in. Oh, they all came in, Mike, and you used to try and listen to their speeches. But... oh yes, they all helped each other. There was never any trouble among the neighbours, never. You never had to lock your door or anything like that.
And Northallerton was a market town, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a market town, yes. We had a big linoleum factory there which supplied a lot of workers, you see.
Was your family, were they churchgoers?
Well, funny enough, it was a primitive Methodist. My grandmother was a big primitive Methodist, and we used to have to go to a Sunday school, which guaranteed us day at rector in the summer, and at Christmas time we got a book presented and a party line. Our house was full of books. We'd have in eight boys' life, and all we all got a book like at Christmas for attendance.
How old were you when you went to school for the first time?
Oh, 5 years old.
And the name of the school, do you remember it?
Junior school it was. Applegarth Junior School, yes. I remember it quite well because... your first day there, to break you in, they had a rocking horse, and you got to ride on the rocking horse. And it was divided into two, the girls at one side and the boys at the other. You were there till about 10 or 11, and then you moved to the National School, which was about half a mile away. The Abergath School was quite close to us, so it was only a minute from there, but the National School was, it would be half a mile or so. We never walked, we always run home to, for dinner, like. And it was where it is now, it's overlooked the workhouse. And children being very unkind, you know, that used to look over, you could look over at the workhouse and see these inmates. I think they had to do a task before they were allowed to go out, you see, after the night's sleep. And a lot of them were sent into this big garden to dig the garden and that, chop wood and that. And of course, children being very unkind, you to shout at them, you know. I didn't. There was times, you don't eat an apple. If you went to school with an apple, you'd have kids around you. Same as a car. Any rate, I liked school, I liked history, and I liked geography. And we used to have a monthly examination. And they started to award us a badge, a blue badge, which had merit on it. And I won it. And I was proud of it, like, but it was disappointing in a way, because nobody asked you what the merit was for or anything like that. Even the teachers didn't make a fuss of you, like, so it was disappointing having that badge. At any rate, that died out. And
what were your teachers like?
Teachers were very good. I remember one saying, I had a cousin called Alistair and myself Alan. I heard one say to the other teacher, you sounded the Scotch then. But you weren't Scotch.
Was it corporal punishment when you did anything wrong?
Oh yes, I know me and when we got together, the put two classes together, me and Alistair got together and we were laughing on, and of course we were pulled out and we got the cane. Yeah. But the headmaster, I remember him. If you wanted to, after you'd filled your book, you had to go into the hall, line up, and he'd look through your books and he'd give you a dressing down if the writing wasn't good enough, anything like that, like. But he never troubled me, he always gave me a book. I don't know whether I was right with that. But he was a very fair headmaster. If the teacher couldn't deal with the situation of some of them, like, he would send him to the headmaster and he'd get with it. No, there was never any complaints, as there is today, parents coming up and complaining, you want to do this and do this. No, in fact, if you got the cane, you didn't tell your father that you might get a good belting off him, mate. No.
How did you feel about the education you did get in school? Was it good? Or?
It was very good, in fact. I mean, I would have liked to have kept on at school if I'd known, you know, more education, but we all had to leave and get work as quick as possible to help our families.
Did you have examinations to pass to get to, say, grammar school or to more senior schools?
No, I don't think they did come up with that. No, no. I think the well-off used to pay for their children to go to this grammar school, yes.
Did you get involved with the Boy Scouts or lads, Church Lads Brigade?
Well, there was quite a few Boy Scouts uniforms in our house, but I never was a Boy Scout. But I did join the cadets, the Greenhill Cadets.
What age was this?
I'd be about 13.
Before he left school, was it?
No, after that, just after I left school, I happened to be at, we had a meeting on Wednesdays. We used to meet on Wednesdays in the drill hall. And I'd be about 14, I'd just left school. And one lad said to me, I was looking for a job. He said, one of the printers at the Linoleum factory needs a boy like. So that's where I first started my job. I started for this here printer. And as I said, three's coming to it again. There was him, his brother, and his father working on this floor. And I was what they call a tear body. I mixed the paint and spread it out on the pan, so he put his printing thing into it and onto the linoleum. And I was there till I was about 16. And
how many hours a day did you work?
We started about at 7:30 till 5 o'clock. And on Saturday, it was till 12 o'clock.
What wage did you get?
About, I think it would be about 16 shillings.
It was quite a well-paid job in those days for someone 14, was it?
It wasn't so bad at all, no.
Was there, again, a strong discipline exerted on young boys in the factory?
No, there was no trouble at all. I didn't particularly like the job, like, because you were being an outdoor boy, like, inside didn't go down very well, and the smell of paint wasn't very nice, and the hot ovens above where they put the finished product to, that used to come smelling out, you see. Oh, you smelled the paint and that. No.
But you said that you were there till you were 16, was that right?
Yeah.
Where did you go then?
Well, we were put on short time. They hadn't got any orders in. I think it would be about turkey picking time. So
it's October.
October. So I went to this farm, turkey picking, and they took me on as a farm boy. I was there, and again three comes in. There was three brothers and a sister. I liked it. It was all right. I used to, they wanted me to live in, but I wouldn't live in. I used to go home every night. Quite a walk. We had good food. There was one brother, he lived about maybe three quarters of a mile away. He was a very clever one, was this one. And he had a dog, a sheep dog, because he looked after the sheep. I always remember this sheep dog. It was Old Bill, they called it. And it was going blind. He would come riding in on his bike, and a few minutes after, the dog would come into the yard like, and it would find him by its nose, a very good nose. And nobody could get that dog to leave him, except on one occasion, and that was when we went rabbiting. We did 2 days rabbiting, and as soon as we took the ferrets out of the hutches to put into to take them away, that dog was there and went with us rabbiting all the way. And that, what a nose it had. It, I remember once we had the ferret down the hole, and the old dog went into the where the ploughing field was and started scratching, and I just dug down there, and there was two rabbits.